God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact. Those first few days after Easter Sunday, Jesus appeared to many witnesses. Many people saw him, many women, many men saw him. One of the men, one of the disciples who did not see him in those early occasions was Thomas. We're not quite sure why. The rest of the disciples seemed to be gathered together when Jesus first appeared to them, but Thomas was absent. Maybe he was cowering in fear. Maybe he was in his own house, full of anxiety and worry, not knowing what to do next. Who knows? But he was someone who wanted to see Jesus for himself, as we would as well. Thomas gets a bit of a bad press. He's often referred to as the disciple who doubted, or doubting Thomas. But I'm sure if we had been in Thomas' shoes, we would have probably reacted the same. We would have heard stories of people who had seen Jesus, but we would have said, like Thomas, unless I see him with my own eyes and touch him with my own hands, I will not believe it. Eventually, Jesus appeared to Thomas and said to him, "Stop doubting and believe." And you'll see from the bulletin today that that's really our theme, the line through everything today. Stop doubting and believe. On this Easter day, 2,000 years on from the events of the Gospels, I want us to look again at these scriptures to be affirmed in our faith, and with boldness go from this building and saying, Jesus indeed is alive, he is risen, he lives in my heart, but he also lives in heaven. As many of you know, I was trained as a lawyer, and as part of our legal course, there was a strong emphasis on evidence. But not only lawyers, but all of us look for evidence, don't we? Evidence to believe that Jesus is alive. The culture we're living in is a strange culture. It's a culture imbued with values of cynicism, secularism, relativism, and a lack of respect for truth. It's described as a postmodern culture, and in a postmodern culture, there's a lot of confusion. There's a mix-up between what is fact and what is opinion. What is opinion and what is true. So today, many people might say, well, Jesus is alive, maybe true for you, but it's not true for me. But that doesn't make sense. If something is true, it's true. It's true for everyone. And in our postmodern culture, we need to look at the facts of the gospel presentation and to see the testimony, the witness to the truth that Jesus is alive. Stop doubting and believe. And my sermon today is divided into two. In this first little bit, we're going to be looking at the internal witness of the Spirit. The internal witness of the Spirit. Because no matter how much we add together the facts and the evidence, ultimately, to say Jesus is Lord is about the heart. It's about the Spirit coming into our spirits, Spirit giving birth to Spirit. Christian faith is sometimes described as a leap into the dark, but I don't think that's fair. I think it's a leap into the light based on evidence, based on facts. In Acts chapter 2, we have an event described called Pentecost. We maybe didn't expect to be reading about Pentecost today, but it's all linked in. It happened 7 weeks after Easter. A lot of people were gathered together, and the Spirit of God fell upon them and enabled them to speak in different languages. Peter says in Acts chapter 2, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and he has poured out what you now see and hear. The Holy Spirit has now poured out what you see and hear. The Holy Spirit has now given an internal witness in our hearts of what has happened to Jesus and what is happening all around you in these days. The internal witness of the Holy Spirit was very evident and very clear. The miracle of Jesus being alive was confirmed by the miracle of people speaking in other languages. And it all came from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus enabled people to speak differently. It was the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It is the same Spirit that will raise us to new life. It is the same Spirit that confirms the gospel witness. The internal witness of the Holy Spirit confirms our faith. On that day, over 3,000 people came to faith. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, Paul reminds us of the importance of the Spirit being within us. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Romans 8 and 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Romans 8 and 16, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. 2 Corinthians 1 and 22, God has set His seal of ownership upon us. He has put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Whenever Jesus left, He says, I'm sending you my Spirit. The Spirit will be the witness. The Spirit will be the deposit. The Spirit will be the guarantee. The Spirit is the one who will take what is of me and put it into your lives. He will pour it into you. Stop doubting and believe. The Spirit makes all the difference when you have the Spirit. It's important for us to know that whenever we feel drawn to God, that's the Holy Spirit working. Whenever we feel a hunger and a thirst for God, that's the Holy Spirit working. Whenever we explore the facts of the resurrection and it warms our hearts, that's the Holy Spirit, His internal witness in your soul. Part of having Easter faith is the internal witness and work of the Holy Spirit in my heart and in your heart. Over the years of my experience and what others have said and seeing the worldwide church, the Spirit manifests Himself in different ways. When the Holy Spirit is in our lives, He can sometimes manifest Himself in outward ways, as we see in Acts chapter 2, in the speaking of tongues. I have seen the Holy Spirit manifesting Himself in outward ways through weeping, in the ability to speak words of discernment into a situation, even sometimes in laughter. More often, the work of the Spirit is quieter because He doesn't want to draw attention to Himself, but rather to draw attention to Jesus. So whenever you feel the Scriptures are becoming clearer to you, that's the internal witness of the Spirit. Whenever you have a sense of joy that rises up in your heart, which is unexplainable from outward circumstances, that's the Holy Spirit's testimony in your heart. Whenever you feel a sense of peace pervading you from top to toe, that is the Holy Spirit's witness in your heart. Whenever you come to Jesus and give your life to Him and have a sense of release, a sense of your burdens going, and a few people I've spoken to recently who have given their lives to Christ, this is the way they've described it. It was a sense of release. That is the internal witness of the Spirit as they are brought to life. This is how the Spirit works in the inner person. These are evidences that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is risen from the dead. The same Spirit that raised Jesus is the same Spirit that will raise you today. And when it happens, you will know it has happened. Having the Spirit of Jesus is fundamental to a real and proper relationship with God. The Bible says we can only cry, Abba, Father, by the Spirit. When the Spirit of God confirms the truths of His Word into our souls, we come alive as Jesus did. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? The Bible says we receive the Spirit by repenting. By repenting of our sin, by repenting of our independent spirit, of repenting of the fact that we think we can save ourselves. When we repent of those things, the Spirit works in our hearts. In Acts 2 and 38, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is everywhere. God's Spirit is here this morning. the internal witness of the Spirit. Do you have him in your heart today? You may wonder why the pulpit is draped in white this morning. I felt very strongly the sense, we have different themes and different colors in our last few Easter services. Last year, the theme was very much yellow. But I felt very strongly this year the theme should be white. And it just wouldn't leave me. It had to be white. And so that's what we work with in terms of the background, in terms of the flowers. You see, white is a very important color. White is a color that has importance in Scripture. Whenever you read the gospel accounts of when Jesus was alive, it talks in one or two of them about an angel or someone dressed in white at the grave who says to the woman, "Jesus is not here." Whenever you look at the book of Revelation especially, seven times it describes people being dressed in white. To the church of Sardis, he says, "They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy." We read of the 24 elders around the throne, and they're dressed in white. We hear about Jesus coming in his victorious march, and he's on a white horse, and all the saints around him are dressed in white. It's a very important color because it is the color of new birth. It is the color of cleansing. It's the color of sanctification. It's the color of forgiveness. It's the color of triumph and conquest. And every time you read Revelation, you are struck by this flow of white. And as God looks at those who are his today, he sees that you are dressed in white. I had a brief thought last week of buying a white suit, but I thought that just wouldn't work. Kay will be glad to know that thought passed very quickly. But let me tell you this, that as God looks at you today, if you are a follower of Jesus and if the Spirit is in you, today you are dressed in white. That's what Jesus sees. We're all arrayed in white if the Spirit is in us. The internal witness of the Spirit says we are children of God and we are being prepared in the wedding clothes for the great return of Jesus. You're dressed in white. That's what he sees. But maybe you're not today. Maybe you're not. And you know you're not. Because you're still depending on yourself. You're still depending on your goodness. You're still depending on anything and everything except Jesus and the cross. You're not dressed in white today. But you could be. You can be. Today, on Easter Sunday. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer. If you want today to repent and to be dressed in those white clothes today, it can happen. Let's pray. Lord, as we hear your word today again, Lord, we acknowledge that you have made us for yourself. But today there may be some individuals who want to pray this prayer, because the Spirit is filling them, the Spirit is speaking to them. And so they pray, and pray after me these words in your heart, if this is you. Lord, I am sorry for my sin, my pride, my stubbornness that has led me to believe that I could save myself. I recognize that Jesus came into this world for me. He died for me and for my sin. I turn from my independent, selfish spirit and turn to Jesus today for my salvation. Jesus, I welcome you into my life by your Spirit. Come in and change me and confirm to me, even on this day, even now, that I am a child of God on this Easter Sunday morning. May this morning be morning of mornings as I rise to serve you, knowing that the same Spirit of Jesus is now in me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. We've looked at the internal witness of the Holy Spirit. Unless the Spirit is in us, we will never believe, no matter what we hear, no matter what we see. The internal witness of the Spirit confirms that Jesus is alive. But we are not just spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings, but we are flesh and spirit. We are flesh and bone and spirit. And God has made us in that way. And when God the Son came into the world, God the Son was the one who came and took up flesh and bone as we have. He fully identified with us. And as bodies, we have physical senses. We have five physical senses. And so not only does God give us the internal witness of the Spirit, but He also gives us the external witness of the senses. And this on the screen is a very famous painting by Caravaggio of this incident where Thomas comes to put his hands upon Jesus to see that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is alive. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, again it reminds us that Jesus suddenly appears in a room, almost like a ghost would do. But he says this, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." I want us to think about the five physical senses that we have and how God speaks to each one of those through Jesus and through what happened here. First of all, there is the sight. Jesus said, "Look at me, see me, I am He." One of the theories of the resurrection that has been given to try and play down or explain away the resurrection is that the disciples were hallucinating. Now, you could take a hallucination by maybe one person, but to have so many people having the same hallucination and over 500 witnesses over a period of weeks having the same hallucination is impossible. It doesn't stand up. Jesus says, "Look, see me. Stop doubting and believe." Whenever there's an accident or something has happened, there's often an appeal for eyewitnesses because the seeing is so important. Jesus says, "Look, stop doubting and believe." Or what about the sense of hearing? He spoke to them in a voice that they recognized. This was the same voice that he used as he had calmed the seas. It was the same voice that he'd used as he had got rid of the demons. It's the same voice that he used as he put his hands upon people and healed them. This was the same Jesus. They heard the same voice. They recognized him. Now, the disciples, as we know, in the few days previous to this, had been in a state of fear. They were not gullible. They were not susceptible to influence. If anything, they were skeptical. They were fearful. But they heard Jesus' voice. They saw him. They heard them with their own ears. Stop doubting and believe. Thirdly, what about the sense of smell? It really only occurred to me for the first time as I was thinking through this passage and preparing for today that Jesus could possibly have smelt very strongly of the ointment and the perfume and the aroma of what had been put on him in his burial. In John's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 39, if you still have the Bible open and you just look back to John chapter 19. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus come and ask Pilate for the body of Jesus. And as was the custom, they took his body, they wrapped it in strips of linen, and intermingled with the linen were a mixture of myrrh and aloes, 75 pounds worth, 75 pounds weight of ointment was put upon him. Very, very strong smelling ointment. And it is not beyond our imagination to think that when Jesus rose from the dead, he still had this smell upon him. Never mind the ointment that he had been anointed with by Mary of Bethany the week previous to the crucifixion. I'm sure they could smell it in his hair and on his body. Smell is something that lingers. It's very evocative, isn't it? Jesus, I'm sure, smelt of this aroma. It was an aroma of death, yet it was also an aroma of life. Stop doubting and believe. The sense of hearing, the sense of seeing, the sense of smelling. What about taste? Well, for this, I thought of Jesus himself, because in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, in an attempt to prove to his disciples that he was not a ghost, he says, "Have you any fish?" And they gave him a piece of fish, and he began to eat it in front of them. He began to digest it and chew it and swallow it. He says, "Ghosts don't eat." They could see that he was tasting with his own mouth. They could smell the fish. They could see that this was real. This was actually happening in front of them. And that is why we believe that whenever we are resurrected as Jesus was resurrected, we too shall have living bodies. We too shall be able to eat. Physical, material, God created. Hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting. And then finally, the one which is most identified with Thomas, the doubting disciple, the sense of touch. "Reach out your hand, Thomas. Touch my hands. Touch the spear wound. It is me." And it doesn't actually say whether Thomas touched or not. He maybe did. I think he did. But he falls down and he says, "My Lord and my God, I have seen enough. I have heard enough. Jesus is alive. Jesus can be touched." Jesus is presenting to us the evidence through the written record of the disciples. Now, we were not there, and we must depend on this witness. But remember, the disciples were just ordinary men, fearful. And yet something happened, something changed them from cowering in a room to courageously proclaiming Jesus Christ is alive. What happened? Jesus rose. And Jesus says to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And that's us. Jesus is speaking about us. And the millions and millions of people throughout history who believe that Jesus is alive because of the external witness of the senses experienced by the disciples, by the internal witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus is alive. We know it. On the frame behind me here is our kind of main piece of artwork for this Easter. In the center is the cross. But around the cross, people from this congregation, children and adults, over this past week have been putting their handprints with paint. And I think it looks very effective. And what we're saying is that we are identifying with the cross. We're putting our hand there. We're saying we are in this together. We've been doing a series of life together. And this is at the very core of our togetherness, the cross. And I hope that in your mind, you maybe physically didn't put your hand there, but maybe in your mind today saying, "My hand is on that cross. I identify with that cross. That is my salvation. That is my hope. That is my meaning and significance in life. My hand is on that cross. And I'm dressed in white." And today again, and this morning again, I invite you to identify with that and to place your hand there in your heart and in your mind and saying, "That is me. I identify with Jesus and what he has done for me. Jesus came, he lived in an obedient life, he died an obedient death, he took my sin on his shoulders. And today I am alive forevermore." So again, I'm going to pray a prayer. It's going to be a prayer of repentance and invitation to those who may wish to invite Jesus to be Lord of their lives and to be part of those hands. Let's pray. Lord, on this Easter Sunday morning, I acknowledge now that you have made me for yourself. I am sorry for my sin, my pride, my stubbornness that leads me to believe that I can save myself. I recognize that Jesus came into this world for me. He died for me. And I turn from my independent, selfish spirit, and I turn to Jesus for my salvation. Jesus, I welcome you into my life by your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come in and change me and confirm to me even now, externally and internally, that I am now a child of God on this Easter Sunday morning. May this morning be the morning of mornings in my life, a fresh start as I rise to serve you, knowing that this same Spirit of Jesus is now in me, and I am alive, alive forevermore. And God's people said, Amen.